Welcome to the art scene. In this show, Lisa from Paris and Eric from LA will be covering different topics of art from different countries, regions, and cultures. And we'll be posting episodes in English, Japanese, and French. So, hello, Lisa.
Hi, Eric. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. So today we're gonna discuss the new theme. This is our first podcast, first podcast between us.
Yeah, our first combo.
So I want to post theme of today, today's topic. Mm-hmm. So the theme is Ghibli contemporary art.
Yeah, the Ghibli studios, the films, animation films, mostly animation, right?
Yeah.
That are from Japan and have made it into international recognition for sure, in the last 20 something years.
Mm-hmm.
I found it very interesting that you were interested in talking about this one. But I didn't know exactly why you wanted to cover it.
Yeah, let me explain it. So as a Japanese, Studio Ghibli is very so famous. I mean, everybody is born with that, especially here age of 30s or 40s, because we are born and we grew up with those animations that Studio Ghibli have made. But why I want to cover this topic now is there are three reasons. And one is I feel there are so many exhibitions globally covering Ghibli these days.
Yeah. They especially have one here, in Los Angeles.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever been there?
No, I haven't been. Yeah. It's a little far for us, so we haven't been able to go up there yet. But we need to go because I think it's only open until the summer.
Yeah, until June.
At the Academy?
Yeah, Academy Museum. So it's very... They opened very recently in 2021. And I think first exhibition is about Hayao Miyazaki, who is the animator and director of many of Studio Ghibli movies. I'm so impressed by Academy Museum selecting him as a first exhibition.
Mm-hmm.
But also not only US, but they have Ghibli exhibition in China and Indonesia in 2018 and 2017 separately. So I'm really impressed with many countries or many globally they're recognized by themselves. Of course, in Japan it's so popular, but I'm pretty impressed by their recognition spread globally exhibition. Sorry, go ahead.
Is there a reason for it being growing so popular recently, opening up the different areas, museums and stuff?
I think it's my assumption, but Hayao Miyazaki once announced his retirement from making a long movie in 2013. So after that, they disbanded their production team in Ghibli. So I think but they have to survive as a company, right?
Right.
So maybe they want to do something to continue working as a company. That's my guess, but I'm not sure.
It was kind of interesting because in looking this episode up, I was watching I was reading a few articles and then watching some videos on people commenting. And I found it pretty interesting that Hayao Miyazaki has stated that he doesn't really appreciate being called the Disney of Japan.
No.
Which it's funny though, because I think most people who maybe don't, haven't heard from him would easily describe Ghibli movies as they're kind of like Disney, but it's more trying to say like they're really popular movies. But
yeah,
but his view of Disney was more, it's just like a production house that's just making, like, it's kind of a formula that they then put stories around, and he wasn't interested in like expanding so much. So mm-hmm. I find that also interesting that they must take a very, very strict view whenever they decide to actually open something overseas, because I don't think he wants to just expand.
No. But like, I mean, your point is interesting. And also I want to share some like fun fact that like one is like, even though Hayao Miyazaki doesn't like to be called like Disney version of like Japan's Disney, but like ex-CEO of Studio Ghibli, he's coming from like Mr. Hoshino, he's coming from Disney Japan.
Oh, really?
Yeah. he just resigned, but he has been like CEO of Ghibli for more than 10 years. And has contributed so much to like expand their visibility into globally.
Okay.
Anyway.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting. And you also, have you read books from the like people at Ghibli? Like, you're very invested.
I've read so many books. Especially I read some books like written by Mr. Toshio Suzuki, who is the producer of Ghibli, and he's the owner. He used to be a CEO of the Studio Ghibli, but he himself wants to concentrate on his producer side. So that's why he looked for another person who can be in charge of the Ghibli. And by listening, not only reading his books, but also I listen so many of his podcasts, and he also said he decided to appoint the Mr. Hoshino, who is the ex-chairman of the Studio Ghibli, mm-hmm. and also who works as a like vice president of Disney Japan, to appoint him as a Ghibli's CEO. It's just interesting.
And it seems very open to sharing about the studio. Like, it's a very closed feeling studio, but there are people willing to talk about it, which kind of helps us today in trying to figure out how we both view it, if Ghibli is contemporary art or not.
Right. And also regarding the Disney part, but interesting, I think these like recent movement of what Ghibli is doing is really like getting closer to Disney, because now they are constructing the Studio Ghibli Park, which is Disneyland in Nagoya, where producers Mr. Suzuki's comes from.
It is expanding. So it's also interesting to kind of view it for, I don't know, it's interesting that it can expand and be this larger thing, but we can also try to have this like artistic view of it. Because it's the way that the films are produced is very interesting, but also the effect, like even just the storytelling and everything. So mm-hmm. For this one, I was kind of interested in figuring out first what really is contemporary art, and I found it interesting that the, I guess, main definition is just art that's created like after the 60s. Like, any art today is technically considered contemporary, right?
Yeah. And also, like, there are, of course, they're not like definite, like concrete definition of contemporary art, but mm-hmm. still, like, art historians said, like, as you said, like 1960s also in the scope, but like they said it said that like after World War II, so like after 1945 can be like contemporary art.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's the thing that I really latched onto in the definition, though, is going from like the, you almost have to look back at art history to understand what contemporary art,
mm-hmm.
or at least I did, to like feel comfortable understanding what contemporary art is.
Yeah.
Because if you look farther back, you have, you know, kind of the, I'm not sure exactly what the era would be called, but like impressionist sort of art.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, capturing like a moment and focusing on the light and how you can have really interesting brush strokes to, you know, make you feel like you're in the moment, but not necessarily be really detailed. Then following that was more kind of the modern art period,
yeah.
where there's almost the commentary of the art is almost like, what can we do with this art medium? And that's where you get, you know, the kind of like Picasso and stuff, right? Where it's more like, how funky can we make this look?
Mm-hmm.
and then you have contemporary art where the message is more, at least, you know, from this, following this sort of definition scheme, is more, how do we express ideas and like bigger kind of concepts in the art? And there's so many different types of contemporary mm-hmm. art, because it has this very loose definition, which almost everything that like you currently live through has a very loose definition.
Right. And also the contemporary art has expanded the medias. I think like modern art or impressionists, they have like their main medium is like painting or sculpture.
Mm-hmm.
But they like in modern era or like, I mean, contemporary art, for example, like photos are coming as like photos are considered as an art, and also like some movies or like installation art, and then those kind of like expansion of medium is coming.
And I found, I mean, one that was, I guess, makes sense, but like the kind of earth art is also expanded. So it's almost like, you know, making art out of like the sand on a beach or something.
Ah, yeah.
So it's those kinds too. It's like really pushing the boundary of what you would call art. And I know that some people also feel that art is anything that the viewer would consider art.
Right.
But I tend to kind of feel that there needs to be some intention in making it some sort of piece of art.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way that I view it. And if there's some sort of artistic intention, then it can start to be considered art. And that's where like Ghibli falls into, because it's, when you're talking about film or any video, I think it starts to get fuzzy, because you can have like a 15-minute clip of, you know, somebody walking down the street. Well, if it was just somebody who's, you know, showing you that they're in a new city, I don't know if you would consider that art, mm-hmm. versus somebody, you know, gave direction on, okay, I want to film this person walking down the street. So it's a very fine line when it comes to like movies and stuff, right?
Yeah, true. And also, I'm also wondering, like, regarding thinking of like definition of contemporary art, like, I think it's linked to the question if Ghibli is contemporary art or not. But like, what are the exact differences between like art and entertainment? For example, as you said, like the movies for like 15 minutes, like just like people walk in the street. It can be art and also, but it can also be entertainment movie. So like, I'm always wondering what the, you know, art and entertainment boundary is. For example, yeah, like thinking about like Ghibli's movie. So Ghibli has like produced many, like more than 20 movies, I guess. And, you know, some of the movies are not cold, but like people tend to think that, like, for example, like Red Turtle, which is produced 2016, and also The Tale of the Princess Kaguya, which produced in 2013, they are thought as an like art movie.
Right.
But it's really, I'm confused. Why is the art movie? What's the art movie and why is the entertainment movie?
Yeah, it's, I mean, I was trying to think of it like in even bigger terms too, but I guess you could start to view it in almost like tastes. So it's almost like the, I would like to say that most films could be considered art, and then the subcategory is, do I like it or not? So
true.
Like, you know, I'm not sure if in Paris the movies are very big, but do you know like the Marvel movies?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, Iron Man and Spider-Man, yeah, and that kind of stuff. Those are definitely more trying to be entertainment, but I don't think it's really fair for me to say that it's, I wouldn't consider it artistic just because it's more entertainment. Some people,
yeah,
definitely feel that it's artistic, and especially the creators, I'm sure, try, yeah, to put some artistic stuff into it. So I think it, whenever you're talking about like an artistic movie, that's almost talking about how much more intention is there for it to be some sort of emotionally moving piece versus something that you can eat popcorn with.
Yeah, maybe. And also, I think they have the point that, like, it's not easy to understand.
Mm-hmm.
Like, compared to the, like, what is called entertainment movie. So that we need to think about, like, what's the message behind this, etc. I think it's, like, kind of similar to what the art is. So I think maybe that's why these kind of movies are called art-like movie.
Yeah. And it's also, it is up to, I think one of the best like kind of metaphors for describing the intention in creating art, mm-hmm, that I really enjoyed hearing. I heard an interview of an artist, Alexa Meade, M-E-A-D-E, and mm-hmm, she does like really big paintings where like the backdrop is painted or the floor is painted, but then she puts humans into it and paints the humans to look like they're a part of the painting. So it's kind of like a living painting thing. She's like quite famously, or the most popular thing that she did probably is, I'm not sure if you know, but do you know the singer Ariana Grande?
Well, yeah.
Her music video, the God is a Woman one, like where there's like kind of pink paint and stuff, that she was the artist that did that,
wow,
for the music video. But in this interview, it was really interesting. She was describing that she like kind of teaches art classes or instructs different things, and does it at places where there are some people that are like blind or just visually impaired or something like that. And she was working with a blind like art student, and they were creating like a fishbowl.
Mm-hmm.
And so they made a fishbowl, and then they like put a fish into the bowl, and then they crumpled up saran wrap and put that in there to be water. And Alexa said that she told the person, you know, actually, when you crumple up saran wrap, it's no longer transparent. You can't see through it. So you actually can't see inside of the fishbowl. So you can't see that there's like a fish inside of there. But the artist, like the, you know, art student, said like, well, that's only if you're considering it as like a visual art piece. But to me, this is an art piece because I know that there's a mm-hmm. fish inside of it. So oh. the intention in creating it is the thing that made it the artwork. And I think whenever you're looking at Studio Ghibli movies, the intention, especially from Hayao Miyazaki, is to put art into it and to make it something that's moving emotionally and has you know, really beautiful images in it, or the sound is really interesting. So it's really cool to try to view his artwork through that lens, just because there is so much intention put into it.
Mm-hmm.
At least from my perspective.
Yeah, right. It's interesting. Like, when I think about this question, like some questions come up in my mind. It's like, if Ghibli is contemporary art, what's the scope of it? I mean, like your description is maybe mainly about like movie itself.
Right.
But I think, of course, I think I totally agree with you at the point. But also think like other, like, you know, movies consist of so many pictures, especially in animation. They have like they have movement. So, and Studio Ghibli have wrote so many pictures by animators. And so I think like their pictures could be also art. Do you understand?
Yeah, like the still image.
Yeah, exactly.
And some of those are in museums, right?
Yeah.
Like they do have these individual pieces. Yeah, and it's such an interesting, like, different styles and stuff too. So I agree.
In Japan, there are many exhibitions of like, not only like Hayao Miyazaki. To be honest, there is no exhibition of Hayao Miyazaki in Japan, but there are another other like exhibitions about like other animators who wrote for example like Yoshifumi Kondo, Okazo Oga, Okatsuya Kondo. So they are the people who, for not director, but like director of art, like how to say, like 美術監督 in Japanese, but like they, most of them are managing their like artworks, and they are also writing the background of those scenes.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. So they have some like exhibitions, so in Japan, like Museum Contemporary Art Tokyo. So I find it very interesting.
Yeah, because it's the images are so, like, there's certain ones where they look very kind of hand-drawn. I'm trying to remember. I think especially like the, you know, My Neighbor, the Yamadas.
Yeah.
Movie. Like it's very kind of hand-drawn and sketchy, but the way that the movie is, it's sort of, that feels right. And then there's other movies like Spirited Away that are, it's so detailed mm-hmm. in the background. It doesn't look hand-drawn, which You know, I doubt it is. But it the difference between the films is also something that sort of helps me view it in an artistic lens, because it shows that they're not just putting a background. It's very focused, and they want the entire thing to, you know, feel a certain way.
Right. It's interesting.
I also found it kind of interesting. This is more my view on like some of the Ghibli films. The two really big ones, My Neighbor Totoro and Princess Mononoke. I found it pretty interesting that those were, one, you know, they were very successful in Japan, but they started to, that's like kind of what started gaining international popularity. And I kind of view, so the movie that followed, though, there's like other movies in between, but the big one that followed was Spirited Away.
Yep.
Which is probably my favorite Ghibli movie, and I only saw it a few years ago. But my take on that movie is it's kind of like a message talking about art. So it's almost like it's it really goes into the contemporary art like mode of talking about the concept of art or the concept of being an artist.
What made you, it's very interesting. What made you
like,
think so, that way?
One, and I didn't know this whenever I first viewed the movie, but I've since looked into it. And Miyazaki was feeling, one, he said that the like influence for Spirited Away came from his personal life and experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And this is right at the time when Disney started distributing the movies overseas.
Okay.
And so I view the movie, the story, I don't want to like, you know, spoil too much of it, but essentially the story is a little girl gets kind of taken really quickly into this like spirit world where there's tons of, not ghosts, but like kind of creatures and stuff mm-hmm. all over the place. And she sort of loses her way. And loses a part of her name. Her name changes from Chihiro to Sin. And that's like the kanji, one of the kanji kind of gets taken away. So it's like half of her name kind of. And she has to work really hard to remember who she is and to get out of the spirit world. And I found it as a contemporary take on being an artist, because Miyazaki himself was taken, you know, he wanted to just make good movies in the beginning and just make, I guess, what he might view, or maybe not personally view, but what would be viewed as artistic, you know, good stories. And then suddenly through all of that success was thrown into international recognition and everything like that so fast that he needed to make sure that he remembered who he was, because like after Mononoke he said that he was afraid that the studio was going to go stale, that they were like not going to be able to create anything good again. So I think Spirited Away is sort of that storytelling of the pressure of art once you've reached a level of success, and that the success can force you into a new world and you have to not lose yourself and your vision while you're suddenly needing to do all of these new things and impress these new people and stuff.
So interesting. Yeah, your interpretation is so interesting. I never seen the Spirited Away like that perspective. Huh.
I mean, it's, and I don't know if that's actually a perspective that he would appreciate it having, but that's kind of the message that I can take away.
Mm-mm.
That's, you know, it's in, I don't know, it comes back to being, for me, feeling very contemporary art because it's talking about the idea of like, what is art or what is it like to be an artist or any of those kinds of things. I think the story can probably translate to other experiences too.
Right.
Do you have any Ghibli films that you like have a strong takeaway from, like a strong message?
It's not about like artistic point of view, but mm-hmm. I'm pretty moved by more by the Takahata's work, which like just to make sure that people who don't know Takahata, so like Takahata Isao, he is like filmmaker and he works with Miyazaki. He is like senior of Miyazaki, like 5 or 6 years, and then they have worked together for like Toei Animation, so mm-hmm. and where like animation is made. And so like Studio Ghibli is organized for these two relevant filmmakers, by the way. And Takahata is, I do love Miyazaki Hayao, but like I prefer Takahata-san's movie because like he has philosophy, artist-like. It's hard to describe in words, but I feel like by reading his written books and like listen to his interview, and I feel like he has like philosophy and he's really artistic. And also, he's not the person, unlike Hayao Miyazaki, he's not the person who like, he's not animator, so he's mm-hmm. basically doesn't write or like draw the picture, but he's the producer or director of. And so he instructs animators like what should be write, you know, what should be written right away. But anyway, so one of the films that I like is Only Yesterday. And also the Tale of the Princess Kaguya is really, I think in terms of artistic view, it's really amazing. The expression of like it's like watery paintings,
right?
So yeah. I think it's really amazing. And also interestingly, the only film that that MoMA has permanent collection is Takahata's work. My neighbors,
really?
The Yamadas.
Wait, that's a. A MoMA collected movie?
Yeah.
Is it the whole thing or just like one of the clips? Because the movie is like short stories.
I'm not 100% sure, but I think the whole movie.
Man, that's interesting.
Like, yeah. I have read that episode from the producer Suzuki's book, and MoMA, like when Suzuki showed the MoMA's like art department of all of the films, all of the Ghibli's film at that moment, and the guy or the woman said like, oh, My Neighbor's the Yamada is by far the best, and so MoMA has decided to add it as a permanent collection.
It's such an interesting movie.
Yeah, it is.
It's like just little slice of life, like things from this family, but it's also sort of fictional. I don't know. That's interesting.
So Takahata is really keen on like he has really put importance on like real life or real like realistic way. So the way of his the way his movie is very, I would say, like documentary-like.
Right.
But
yeah.
also he pursues on the expressions of animation. And one of the quotes that I want to share with you guys, and so Takahata decided to work in the animation industry, not because he likes anime, but he's really impressed by the French animation movie. I don't know how it's called, like the King of, I don't know how it's called in English, but in Japanese, like Ototori, which means like king and the birds. And then he's really impressed because that animation movie doesn't have any like words, but they only express by pictures, I mean animations. And he's really impressed by how those movies convey the message or thoughts. So that's why he decided to work in the animation industry, because he thought he wants to convey any message, any philosophy to the next generation or like that by animation. Isn't it interesting?
Yeah, having that kind of perspective on creating a movie, because it is, I mean, that's the other thing, like, you know, you were saying that they are entertainment. They are all entertaining. So it's interesting
definitely
to have, like,
they are.
Some entertainment transcends and tell a message to other generations is pretty, that's a big goal. So also the, like, Ghibli Studios, like, animation style has, it inspires so many other things. Like, I guess Takahata worked in Ghibli, right, on the Yamadas?
Mm-hmm. Yamada's one has the original manga.
Mm-hmm.
And he decided that manga to be in animation.
Yeah, it's the, you know, it's so funny because in like Japanese, I don't know, movies or at least a few of these, the flow between like manga and movie, it's way more fluid feeling, like that it's accepted as like these are the same stories, you know?
Right. Oh, I've never thought of that. Yeah.
Like,
true.
You know, obviously all of the Marvel movies come from comic books, but
yeah.
It's a little different to have a story about a superhero that, you know, never dies and does all of these, you know, big whatever battles and stuff versus like a manga about just a small family and how like they're shopping at the mall, but the dad thinks that the mom has the daughter, but the mom thinks the dad has the daughter, so they accidentally leave without the daughter and the kid is stuck at the mall. Like, that's such a different type of story to then translate from manga to the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, I don't know, how do you feel? Like, are those things very fluid in Japan? Does it feel like it's kind of the same, I don't know, respect? Do people sometimes not like the movie adaptations?
You mean between manga and like movie animation?
Right, yeah.
I don't think people of course, some people do compare between those, but like they have like, at least, as you said, like linkage and like fluid. So sometimes, like when movies are hit, the comics books sales like get rapidly
oh, right.
high,
mm-hmm.
and vice versa as well. Like some of the like hit comics can be easily going to movie because they have like concrete fans.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
that movies can't, you know, movie can monetize his thing.
Right. are there artists that are inspired by Ghibli movies? Like, I know, I guess, like, the, you know, film industry has other producers and directors and artists that are inspired, but is there, like, a, you know, a painting world that's inspired by the animation?
Yes, definitely. And also, it's one of the reasons why I want to cover this topic right now. So Ghibli influenced one of the big contemporary artists from Japan, who is Takashi Murakami.
Oh, right, right.
He's really, really impressed or like influenced by Ghibli. Interesting, like I researched this topic and also, and I do remember Takashi Murakami like mentioned something about Ghibli, and so I reread it, and then he said like, oh, Miyazaki is my god. So I was really, he said like, I'm true believer in Hayao Miyazaki. I create artworks to aim for him.
Really?
Yeah.
That's kind of, okay, that's an interesting one, because his style is so different.
It
like,
is.
It is. I mean, everyone's seen like the kind of smiley face flowers.
Mm-hmm.
He makes like some other, you know, types of paintings. But that's interesting, because I know the producer or the director of, I think the director of like Your Name. Is that the same?
Your Name. Mm.
Do you know who that is?
Genki Kawamura. Let me check. Makoto Shinkai, sorry.
Okay. His movies are very unique, and they, you know, many people are comparing them to Ghibli movies in the scale and the storytelling, but he has said like, I don't want Miyazaki to watch these movies because he'll like just see all of the flaws that I made and all of the bad decisions. Like he's being compared to Miyazaki, and he said that he feels honored to be in the same sentence with him, but he doesn't want him to like even look at his movies, because he's like, no, it is not that good. So it's funny that, you know, some artists are like, oh, I want to show Miyazaki this. I want to make this for him and like praise him, like Murakami. And then other filmmakers are like, no, I don't even want him to know that I exist.
Right. And the interesting point that Murakami points out, that is, he said the reason why he admires Miyazaki so much is like, of course he likes his, maybe, you know, spirit or his way of expressing, but like he emphasized that like Miyazaki contributed to make animation into art. That's why he really admired him. And what Murakami, like in my point of view, what Murakami is doing or has been doing is what like Japanese way of thinking or Japanese way of style into contemporary, like he posed like his style into like globally. So I think they have like, you know, some point in common in that sense.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, so I guess, do you have an answer for the theme? How do you
to
feel?
Wrap up?
I feel like we haven't really been hiding.
So, my thoughts on this topic, like, I think Ghibli is definitely contemporary art, because my definition of art is like work that inspires people, and also it works, and the work have, how do you say, like in time. I don't know how to say in English, like they've endured in times.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Like after 20 or 30 or 40 years later, people could wow by that.
Yeah.
And I think Ghibli has those characteristics. So I do believe they are definitely contemporary art.
Yeah, the stories often center around like the going through emotions and dealing with emotions and the bonding between people. And they do such a good job of, you know, most of the movies, they don't even tell you what year it takes place or what kind of time it exists in. But some movies, like, you know, Grave of the Fireflies is very specific. And that one, you know, in either case, either it's like a spirit world or it's very specific to like World War II, the stories that they tell can invoke emotions like at any point. You know, you can watch Totoro that was made in like 1988. And it still feels, it does feel very timeless because it doesn't have anything specific.
Every Ghibli movie is very timeless.
Yeah.
And also I want to, yeah, as I have spoken about like Takashi Murakami, but also there are other contemporary artists from Japan, for example, like Yoshitomo Nara or Mister or Otani Workshop or Ayako Rokkaku. So those artists, maybe some of them are influenced by Takashi Murakami himself, but also, and you know, Takashi Murakami has been inspired by Ghibli. So it means like they have been inspired not indirectly by Studio Ghibli. So like I feel like there are many like these days contemporary artists who have kind of style of not animation but like manga style of work are emerging and very in fashion. So I think that origin of it them are Ghibli and maybe the Osamu Tezuka, but also Tezuka Osamu also influenced Hayao Miyazaki. But anyway, so it can be said that those contemporary artists are indirectly or directly influenced by Ghibli. So I think their contribution is really great in the art world.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, you know, I don't know if I'll be alive to see it, but it would be interesting to see what the next, you know, movement in art is and how it then views Miyazaki. Because I can, or I guess just Ghibli in general, I could see Ghibli being a touchstone that it really inspires like another movement in how to view art or view whatever it is you're creating.
I also like your interpretation of Spirit Away, so.
Yeah, you gotta watch it with that kind of perspective. And it'll, like, especially that kind of, the first half of it where you know, Chihiro's just like, I mean, there's just constant movement for the first like 20-25 minutes or something where she's just almost against her will being pushed further and further down into this thing, and she needs to, you know, climb her way up to the top of the, you know, bathhouse essentially. So it's kind of, you know, I feel like there's many layers to it.
Okay, so thanks for listening.
Yeah, thank you. It's been nice talking this idea out with you.
Yeah, me too. And also, so these days, like, inspired by this topic, I'm like, I want to know a bit more on like the artists that are inspired by animation or styles of animation. So maybe I can talk later on.
yeah, I'm sure we'll come back to this topic. Yeah.
Okay, so see you soon.
Yeah, talk to you next time.
Bye. Bye.